Now, Brian, you there?
Morning, Adrian. How are you?
Excellent. Now, good morning. Thanks for taking the call. We're just going to discuss the call on the Minister for Justice, Charlie Flanagan, to allow an independent inspection of the Mosinee Direct Provision Centre. So, can you tell me what's happening there and tell me about the Mosinee? I mean, we should know at this stage about the Mosinee Direct Provision Centre, but a lot of people wouldn't know the kind of think, well, Mosinee was a great holiday place that we used to go to many years ago, and they think that's what it's all about. So maybe you tell us a bit about that first.
Yeah, so as many people will be aware, you know, Mosinee is now a direct provision centre and has been for a number of years. There's a huge amount of money being paid by the state into Mosinee to kind of facilitate the home of these people that have come into Ireland for a better life. And as people probably saw, you know, a couple of weeks back, there was protests by the residents outside of Mosinee due to the treatment inside the centre and some intimidation by management. So it's something that's really kind of driven to the fore now, and especially with the local elections and the European elections being on, you know, a lot of these people feel like they're in a prison, for want of a better expression. And, you know, direct provision is something that's meant to be a very short-term situation, but a lot of people have been in there for up to 2 and 3 years. So, you know, when the protest took place, our CEO Anthony Flynn actually reached out to Minister Charlie Flanagan to say, look, this needs to be opened up for independent inspection, because if the residents have this many complaints, there's obviously a problem there and that needs to be looked at and needs to be addressed by an independent source.
I mean, direct provision itself is, I mean, it's just, they're there far too long in what should be short-term accommodation. We're back to what we speak about, the homeless and the hubs and whatever. It's the same thing. They come over, it's meant to be a temporary thing, and they seem to be there for anything up to 10 years in some places, which is ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, and exactly, you kind of correlated it perfectly there. You know, it is very similar to a lot of the emergency accommodations for the homeless as well, insofar as a lot of, you know, adults and particularly children feel like they're almost in a prison. You know, there's so many rules and regulations and, you know, a lack of freedom that you should be availing of. I mean, they're not in prison. They haven't done anything wrong. These people have come here to try and make a better life for themselves. So the fact that, especially, I think the biggest concern I would have would be related to the on-site management and the concerns over intimidation. I mean, I'm sure a lot of your listeners saw the videos from outside the centre when the protests were taking place.
Yes.
And there was a comment made by the main proprietor, Stephen McCluskey, regarding, you know, the impact it might have on the residents that they were protesting. So that would be a huge concern for us personally. And I'm sure you're aware ICHH had our own issues with Mosinee before Christmas when we attempted to deliver Christmas shoeboxes to the children up there. So there would be a lot of alarm bells. I mean, direct provision is definitely not the answer. And as you said, it's meant to be a short-term accommodation, but it's not turning out that way, and that's exactly what's happening across homeless services as well.
And this level of intimidation, as you say, is it an outside? I mean, have they brought in Russian mafia or something? Who is doing security, you know, that you weren't even able to get at Christmas, as you briefly said there? You went up with truckloads of toys and things for the children, which was great to be able to do that. And then you were turned away. You weren't allowed to get in. Who is it that's stopping you? Is it the management?
So that would be a private security. Yeah, exactly. It would be the management that run the centre. As I said, it's Phelan McCluskey and that company that run the actual service provision themselves. And they've received millions in funding over the last number of years. But when our van had pre-arranged to go up with the Christmas shoeboxes, there was some confusion on the gate. But there was also an issue with the attitude of the people that we dealt with, insofar as, you know, questioning the shoeboxes and what they contained. And, you know, when our driver said, look, feel free to check them, because, you know, all that's in them is stuff for children. You know, there's nothing out of the ordinary there. And there was comments made regarding, well, you could be smuggling someone into the centre, which in itself is quite a ridiculous comment, because you wouldn't be smuggling people into the centre. You would think you'd be smuggling them out of the centre.
Yeah.
Exactly. So there was a bit of an issue with regards to that. I mean, we were making a delivery of Christmas shoeboxes that were wrapped for children. So for us to have that issue on the gate, and then subsequently there was been a few back and forth regarding, you know, on letters regarding what happened that day. And, you know, it definitely rang alarm bells for us, insofar as we had delivered stuff up there previously, and a couple of our volunteers would be in there regularly delivering stuff. So we felt it was a bit unnecessary, a bit heavy-handed. And, you know, there was a lot of children in there that were probably expecting to get their Christmas shoebox that day, and it didn't actually happen. We had to kind of go back over a couple of weeks with a couple of our volunteers who brought stuff in. But it definitely rang a lot of alarm bells for us. And, you know, that's the reason we've reached out to Minister Charlie Flanagan, because at the end of the day, if the government are pouring millions into this direct provision centre, there has to be a certain level of respect, a certain level of humanity, and that's why we were looking to get in there and actually inspect it and talk to the residents ourselves.
Yes, yes. Well, I remember we had a training course that we ran. We ran a couple of them here with the immigrant training courses, and I still speak regularly to a couple of the trainees. Lovely, lovely people. And one was in direct provision. Actually, there was a few on another course that we're in. But the stories, he couldn't tell his name or couldn't, you know, the stories he told us.
Of course.
At first, it was all, he was such a smiley, happy person, and well-educated and everything, had a degree in IT and had come from war-torn country. And he was just so lovely and happy. But yet, down inside, there was a lot of stuff going on. And when he told us the stories about him getting sick, and when they called the doctor, they took him out because he was complaining, because the doctor wanted him segregated. There were people smoking in a tiny, tiny little room. There were three or four of them in this room. Three smoked, he didn't. And he kept getting infection after infection. And then he was taken out and sent down to... I'm not sure the name of the place, but it's supposed to be the worst place, you know, to be sent down. You're usually really, really bold if you go down there. And he was sent down there for causing disruption. So I'm, you know, afraid with the with what's happened, and they went out this trying to get their rights, that if they're getting inhumane conditions before that, will they now be treated worse when they go in after this protest? You know, you'd be
that's a big concern. Yeah. And I think, again, there's a direct correlation between the direct provision centres and homeless services as well, insofar as that a lot of people feel that if they go with a justified complaint or a justified issue, that there will be a consequence for them. And in a lot of cases, some people don't want the consequences, so they're afraid to actually say what's happening, because they are fearful of retribution in some way or another. And that's a serious problem in itself. You mean, if anyone has a legitimate issue or a legitimate complaint, it should be treated as such. It shouldn't be a case where people are fearing a consequence for actually speaking up and being honest about what's happening. And I think that's one of the biggest concerns that we would have. Again, is, you know, millions are being spent in this. Again, it's supposed to be a short-term measure and a short-term accommodation unit, yet we hear stories of families being there 2 and 3 years. And again, they haven't done anything wrong, yet these places in a lot of senses are run like prisons are run, you know, with regards to visitors, with regards to rules and regulations. And that's unacceptable as far as we're concerned. These are human beings that have come to Ireland, especially to maybe get away from a war-torn country, like you said, and to give themselves a life. And there's millions being paid by our government to facilitate this, but there doesn't seem to be a proper regulation of them, and there doesn't seem to be people on top of actually inspections and random inspections, not predetermined or prearranged inspections.
Yes.
They should be going in and talking to the actual residents. I mean, you probably saw recently where the Ombudsman for Children released a report, having gone in and spoken to a lot of the children in the homeless emergency accommodation units. And to hear and read the children's own words about what they're experiencing in emergency accommodation, a very similar thing should be done in direct provision, whereby there is no fear of a consequence for actually speaking the truth. Because we're in a society now where if it's a case that people have legitimate concerns, they should be allowed to air them without any fear of a consequence. And it's definitely concerning for us that people are that afraid to actually speak their minds when it's something that everyone needs to be aware of.
And another thing, I can't believe when I read that 136 million has been provided to Mosny from the public money, from the public purse, between 2002 and 2018. And, you know, really when you hear the stories, you're going, where is that money going? I mean, they're not being treated royally. You know, it is like a prison, actually, as you say, and they can't come and go as they want, and they can't get visitors, and, you know, they're not able to pick what food they want, and there's not an a la carte menu. And, you know, where is this money going when you see the place and how run down it is?
Yeah, and that's a huge problem across the board in this country. Mm. Privatisation, you know, people's bank balances are getting a lot bigger, but yet the quality of service that they're providing is getting worse by all accounts in a lot of cases. And that's a huge concern. I mean, we have to look at how money is being spent in this country. Is it being spent in the right places? It's not if someone's personal bank account is getting bigger and bigger by the month, and yet the people that actually they're there to look after and protect aren't getting that level of respect and responsibility from them. So, I mean, that would be a huge concern. I mean, the Minister for Finance regularly comes out in the public and says the ministers need to be careful on what money they're spending and so forth, yet we're pouring money down these privatised companies to run these likes of the direct prison centres or the emergency accommodation units. But we have a real, real concern over the quality of service they're providing, you know, child safety, all of those things are a huge concern to us. And I know, like, especially with the local and European elections coming up, a lot of people are going down the road, especially the candidates of, you know, ending direct provision. We don't want direct provision in this country. We're pouring millions into it, but is it doing anything for the residents? I don't believe so.
No, and another thing, like, if you pay for something, you're looking for quality, you know, first of all, but you're also looking for value for money and whatever. But how our government can just throw all this money to these private investors or whatever, and or conglomerates, whatever they are, and not look and say, well, we're not actually getting value for money, or, you know, and check, as you say, these independent checks, to check to see where the money's going. I can't understand how they just keep throwing the money, write the checks, and not see what's behind all that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's again, there's a lot of crossovers here with homelessness, but I mean, a lot of people have a lot of empathy and compassion for these people, and that would be the primary driving force in people wanting to end direct provision. But I think if you even separate the empathy and compassion side of it and actually look at it from an economic standpoint, there's a huge amount of money being spent on a service that isn't giving the people the chance that they deserve, and it's something that is being, it's money down a black hole, as I said, that seems to be lining someone's pocket, but is it actually giving the benefit to the people that it's supposed to be helping? No, it's not. And that's a problem we have even in the private rental market and with the housing crisis, whereby over the next 3 years, they're going to spend $3 billion on HAP payments instead of actually building homes, public and affordable, that would generate a revenue for the next 50 plus years for the state. So they're pouring money into black holes over and over again and saying, well, this is how much we're spending on this service. But are they spending it in the right way? I don't believe they are. And as we just said, the best way to see exactly what's going on in a place is to do random inspections, unannounced, turn up, talk to the residents, make sure that they're comfortable in the knowledge that anything they say will be kept confidential. And let's go in and see exactly what these people feel is going on there. And if so, let's address it and let's stop it and let's change things. But there seems to be a huge reluctance to actually find out the truth from the government, because maybe they're afraid of what they're going to hear.
Yes, well, maybe they are. But has there been any response back from your request anyway from Minister Flanagan's office?
So after two emails, we got an acknowledgement of the request, but we actually got no confirmation as to whether anything will be done with it. So we're still awaiting a further reply. So we did get an acknowledgement of the contact, but we haven't had any yes or no on it. So that's something we're going to keep pursuing. I know Anthony is very much driven by getting to the bottom of what's going on up there. So he will keep at the minister for this. So we'll wait and see, I suppose, watch this space.
And did you manage to get the toys to the children at a later stage, or did they allow you in?
Yeah, so what we did, a couple of our volunteers actually will be in Mosley regularly dropping items in. So some of them took the stuff, you know, separately and broke it down and went in different rooms to get it in. So fortunately they did get the stuff. But I mean, on the day we went up in question, the resident that we had been dealing with regarding the delivery, she was in floods of tears. She was begging the staff to, this has been pre-arranged, you know, the kids are expecting it, can you not let them in? Our van is a marked van. We said they could go and check every shoebox if they wanted to, and yet they still wouldn't allow it to happen. So that shows you maybe the level of management and the lack of humanity that's
it,
in place in Mosley.
I mean, if they're in that position, they shouldn't be in that position, because you need people with a bit of empathy there, you know. You can't be treating people like animals, basically. And as you say, I mean, they're more like prisons than the prisons themselves. Criminals are in better facilities, you know, that than these people that in direct provision. It's dreadful. But I hope something comes.
Yeah, well, I mean, even with prisoners, they can have visitors, and they can have things that a lot of people in the likes of direct provision and homeless services actually don't have the option to have. So that in itself would highlight that something's very, very wrong with this system when someone that's actually in jail for doing something wrong can have visitors in a few times a week, and yet people that have done nothing wrong and are there for help are actually can't have visitors in. So there's a lot of alarm bells and a lot of questions to be asked.
It's sad, it really is sad, but hopefully you get some good response, and I'm sure I'll have you on again, Brian, to tell us the outcome and to speak again with you. Thanks so much for taking the call this morning. Take care.
Thanks, no problem.